artfully made it. He was lying. So as I was translating, one white and one gray rat were coming out of his dress, and they were crawling over his chest. And I was there, and I looked like Madhumati, totally astonished. The translator said, what's happening with the translation? And I said, the translator has a culture shock at the moment. He's dysfunctional. I thought, wow, I've never seen a man who was in love with two rats. So about 6 months later, I visited our farm in South Bavaria, and I went to the cow barn, and I saw the cowherd man. He was totally covered with, he was working with the cow dung. He was covered with cow dung. And he said to me, "Hello, man." And I had conversed with the punk afterwards. It was the hoarse voice of my special friend from Berlin. He had actually become a devotee after the program. The next day I saw him dressed in a very clean dhoti. He was dancing in kirtan. He was shaved up. And I thought, wow, what a transformation. But later I began to think. It was actually when I heard a lecture of our Keshav Maharaj. He said the transformation is not so easy. It's easy to change the frisura. How do we say in the hairstyle, yeah. It's easy also to change the dress, no problem. It's easy to change the eating style, to become a vegetarian. Ooh, but it's difficult to change the heart. And only when the heart, the seat of our thinking, feeling, and willing, has changed, can we speak of an actual transformation. So I heard that my friend is in Australia and he is a devotee since all that time. I think over the years he has changed his heart. But the art of real transformation means to change the heart. I think we all know this. We are all in this room are either spiritual people, devotees of Krishna, or we are on a spiritual path, or we are at least very interested in this, so that we have come this evening here. And we have to ask ourselves the question, is the process working for me? Is my heart changing? Am I really transforming? And today I would like to give all of us some tools in their hands, some things to think about, so that we can actually leave this evening and feel a little bit more encouraged that yes, it is possible for me to change my heart and change my life and come to what in England they say, to a better version of myself, no? A transformed version. This is my goal this evening, and I hope it's interesting for you. Is it interesting, Jai Gopal? Yeah. Maybe you might find some answers to some questions which have not been solved in this for you, and maybe I can even clarify some doubts. Wow, this promises to be interesting. Let us see if I can satisfy you. Good. Now I need to just... Sorry, I forgot everything. Right. I forgot nothing but one thing. I'm looking for my pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Sometimes the most obvious thing is very close. I would like to chant with you a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone, please. Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. For those who are the first time in our temple, we will speak now a little bit in an ancient language, Sanskrit, but don't worry, in 5 minutes we are back to English. This is just to connect with the tradition here. Abhyasayo. Yes, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena.
Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena.
Shetasa Nanyagamina. Baramang Purusham Divyam. Jati Patanu Chintayan. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena.
Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena.
Shetasa Nanyagamina. Paramang Purushang Divyang. Jati Patanu Chintayan.
Jati Patanu Chintayan.
Yes. The translation into English: He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Pata, is sure to reach me. Here Krishna discusses a subject matter which is very important, that is the power of thought. What one thinks of, that one ultimately becomes, if one just maintains his thought stable. He picks up this, he has spoken about this even in the context of leaving our body and then going into our next situation according to how our mind is trained. He says, sada tat bhava bhavita, which means according to your thought, what is in your mind, what you are occupying yourself, you take a bhavita, a state of being. No, you come to a situation in life. I was in Berlin and I was a guest of a musical group, and they had filled for 3 nights a stadium with 80,000 people. That's 3 times 80,000 people, 240,000 people. And they had said, 9 years ago we practiced in Leipzig and we had our first public appearance in Germany in Leipzig, and Johnny brushed his teeth especially good for that public appearance, but there was no one in the crowd. We played for empty toilets, and now 3 nights so many people. I guess that's the power of what you think you want to do, and then it comes to that later. The power of perseverant thought. So Krishna speaks a little bit about it, and he makes here the point: he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in other words, he who becomes mindful, who fills his minds with thoughts of me, undeviated from the path, he stays on this path, he is sure to reach me. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that yoga practice means meditation. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind, sometimes by force, by special effort, to think of Krishna. And he gives an example. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Caterpillar is there on the ground and he has some genetic image imprinted in his genes of a butterfly, and that's what he develops into. He becomes a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, Prabhupada says, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. In other words, we join Krishna. We join Krishna in a spiritual body. But it's a culture. No? It is a culture of mind training. So that I call transformation, where you change from one state into another state, and you become one moment, and that is transformation, where you totally change your state of being. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, this is a very, it's a book for really those who practice the path very sincerely. We find an interesting analogy for transformation, which tells us a little bit what needs to happen so that a transformation can take place. The example is given from alchemy. Who of you has studied alchemy a little? I think Nandarani Priya a little bit. I have, Shrisha has studied a little bit. It's a science where you transform one substance into another. And the alchemical process, as it's second best, is when you can take ordinary metal like this. This is not so ordinary. Let us say like iron, and do your alchemical process and turn it into gold, iron, Aluminium, Zinc, the alchemical process is working, and then it's called the transubstantiation takes place. One substance is led into another substance and becomes that. And the verse says, just like you can transform or change an ordinary metal by a certain process into pure gold, also by the process of initiation, you can take a person who is quite ordinary and transform him into a very, very elevated being, a Brahmana. Hare Krishna. You can actually make the change. This is a verse which for me personally was a long time a secret. I mean, we see in the Hare Krishna movement there are initiations being made, being done many times. I believe in this already in this year there will be 1,000 new initiates. But do these young people really change? Do they transform? I cannot pass a judgment about others, but I can look at my own students. It doesn't look so good or so convincing with them. I don't know if maybe with other more potent spiritual masters it is better results are there. Is this process really working? I'm asking myself, I'm looking also at me. Actually, last year, some little mercy came in my direction. I'm at least very happy in my life. So something is troubled. North German is becoming happy. That's already something. But yes, but it may not be the full transformation. What is the mystery here? What is necessary so that the initiation process can really change an ordinary person into an enlightened soul? We have to ask this question. We should not be shy to ask this question. Ananda Chaitanya, do you agree with me? Is it maybe that we have overlooked some things so that we are not yet golden pure in our heart? I was doing some research. I'm not such a good researcher, but I found out that the initiation process only works when there are 5 traditional things happening. And you will soon see, it's not about getting a new name. That is not so important. First is Urdhvapunja, then comes Tapa, then Nama, Mantra and Yajna. What are these 5 things? Urdhvapunja means a certain path that is handed down by an ancient tradition. It's a school, if you so want. And this path is Urdhva, it leads upwards. What we do as monks, you see, yes, Keshav Maharaj also has, God Krishna also has, we put this sign here. You have also seen. It signifies the path which leads upwards. There is also another meaning to it, a more known meaning. It signifies that this is like a temple. That's the left wall, the right wall, and in between is Radha and Krishna. But one of the meanings of this sign is Urdhvapunja, the path that leads upwards. And there are many descriptions what this path looks like. The second is Tapa, some austerity is necessary. If you want to get to a higher place, you have to leave the lower place. So in our movement, it's no, intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating. You will see, as you move through life, it can be sometimes a tapasya, an austerity, a restriction which you voluntarily impose upon yourself to keep these principles and other principles of austerity. Really, how can you get something that lies in the east by walking west? So you cannot have freedom from material life if you try to enjoy the material life and get entangled in it. So, yes, tapa is necessary. Then comes nama. But the nama means, first of all, you are getting the holy name, and then you getting also a name, like, for instance, Haridas. Or if you were Rudolf before, you are Ruchidas, you know. You get a spiritual name which says you are now a servant of the one personality. Then comes mantra, which comes later. It refers to the Diksha mantras, the Gayatri mantras. And finally, Yajna, which in our line as Gaudiya means more a process of worship of God. Not what we do, for instance, in the evening, we worship the Lord with an Artic ceremony and sing certain songs. So these five things, they are given in the initiation process. A path that leads upwards, some austerities or restrictions so that you don't get stuck in material life, that you can actually overcome your obstacles. The holy name and instructions how to chant it, the mantra and instructions how to chant it, and worship. And you will see, if you can commit yourself to do this on a daily basis, every day, a little thing that leads you upwards. I recommend highly to read spiritual literature, because it puts your mind into higher considerations. Then every day you are careful in restricting yourselves from those things which lead you downward. And you can easily find out what these are. Then every day connection with the name and the mantra, if you have not been initiated in Gayatri mantras, you can chant. Various mantras are there for you, and yajna every day, you worship Krishna. If even on a picture where you put an incense stick and you worship at home, you will see, if you do this for a lifetime, there is some transformation happening in the life. And I must say, since I know these things, I every day visit these five areas and see that I am active in these five areas, so that the alchemical process, or you could say the spiritual transformation process of Krishna consciousness, works. I mean, I was in a laboratory, in an alchemical laboratory with Lorenz. You know, we had my best friend. They had a villa, and we had a cellar in the villa, and we followed these heavy books, you know, how to do the mix the chemicals. And I remember one day we thought, now we are producing gold, and then we traveled to America. America is wunderbar. So we were just ready to. And I asked Lawrence, do you think it will work? Of course it will work, said Lawrence. So we did shit, you know, you have to work with heat and so on. And then Lorenz put, with a big smile, the chemical thing there into this one, wie soll man sagen, Bottich. The next thing I knew was, Krabben! The whole thing exploded into our face. Lorenz still has a scar here. And I fell on my back. I still have a scar in the back. It was really powerful, the explosion in this cellar. And you know, when we fainted and when we came alive, I asked Lorenz, is the gold there? And Lorenz said, let's see, I have a bad feeling. And of course there was no gold. We had not done the process correctly. By the way, it is very, very difficult to do it. I don't recommend it at all. But yes, if you do the process wrong, it might make kravam in your life. Something not so desired comes out, or if you stop the process, it is you cannot expect the transformation to happen in the heart. Is it really like that? This was part one of the lecture. Keep in mind what you heard. There's a process that transforms the heart. I would like to tell you a transformational story of a queen. Her name was Surangi Maharani. She lived in the 16th century in Kashmir, in the state of Kashmir. And one evening, afternoon, she was very bored. She told her maidservant, can you tell me a story to entertain my fancy, or sing a song to me? And the maidservant said, Queen, I will tell you today a special story. Once there was a young boy. He was every day herding cows. And he fell in love with the daughter of the queen, of a king, the daughter of the queen, a young princess. Said Surangi Maharani, that sounds interesting. Was it a forbidden love? I wouldn't call it like that, said the maidservant, but it was a very, very romantic love. And everyone who hears about this love will develop pure love. Wow, said the queen. Can you tell me? So every evening they met in private, and the maidservant, who was a devotee of Krishna, told the queen the amazing pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their meeting. Once she told the queen about how Krishna, the young cowherd boy, who is the soul of the universe at the same time, waited for the princess Radharani at a hill called Govardhan. And when Radharani came with her various maidservants, Krishna jumped into her way. He was dressed like a tax collector and said, I have to tax you. Oh, said Radharani, we have never heard that tax is to be paid here at Govardhan. Who gives you the authority? And Krishna responded with a loving smile, the God of love, Kamadev, has given me the authority. And there on the hill, see, and Radharani looked in the way he pointed, there is the tax collector booth. So the queen, Surangi Maharani, heard all this with rapt attention, and one day she said to her maidservant, "I must go to Dhangati, the place where this pastime took place." "Oh," said the maidservant, "this is in Vrindavan. This is a journey of 3 months. The king will never agree to this journey." "I must go," said the queen, and asked her husband. And the husband said, "Of course you cannot go. You will have to cross countries which are not in good political relationships with us. I cannot allow you this. If they make you a captive, and they will ask for a high ransom." And so the queen started to cry. "You will get over it," said the king. After only 1.5 months, it was a foggy morning. A procession went through the back entrance of the palace. There was a palanquin, and there were lance bearers around the palanquin walking. And the queen went on her way to Vrindavan. She escaped the palace, and after 3 months, she attained Vrindavan. She was riding on a palanquin, in Deutsch eine Sänfte, ne? The moment they reached Vrindavan, she came out of her palanquin and paid her obeisances. And the next day she asked the local saints, "Where is Dhangati? I must go to Dhangati, where this loving pastime of Radha and Krishna took place." They said, "Who are you?" So she was dressed as a queen, you know, queens at that time. Oh, the house of Gucci has no idea what is a good dress. Queens at that time were well-dressed and ornamented. But she said, I'm just a fallen soul. I'm drowning in the ocean of birth and death. Please show me the way to Dhangati." So the sadhus, the saints, said, "Wow, this is a special, determined soul. She is apparently a queen, but she is so humble. She identifies herself with a normal fallen soul of this world." And they showed her the path. The moment Surangi Maharani arrived at Dhangati, she was seized, you can only say it like this in English, I hope the English word is right. She was overwhelmed, I'm more sure with this word, with the most delightful feeling. She again came off the palanquin and first started to dance very slow, very absorbed in trance, and then she danced more and more. And as she danced, her royal ornaments fell off her. Her golden ornaments on her very precious saris fell in the sand. Finally, her, I do not know what it's called, this little sign, a beautiful sign on the forehead, fell. And when she ended her dance, her loving dance, she paid her obeisances. All the simple people of Vrindavan had gathered around it, and they asked the maidservant of Surangi Maharani, "There are these ornaments." So the queen got up. She was crying. She was perspiring. The maidservant said, "The people say you lost all these ornaments. What to do?" "Oh," said "let the people take the ornaments. They have better use for them than I do. I am no longer a queen. I am a servant of those who serve the servants of the gopis. Oh, oh, oh. So she took to a simple dress. Let me see. It was only white dress. And from that day on, she took to the simple service of brooming or sweeping the path which the pilgrims take when they circumambulate Giriraj Govardhan. Every day she swept, I can imagine, part of the path, because this is 24 kilometers, the whole path, but parts she did. And when she finally left her body, the sadhus decided to give her samadhi. They interred her body into a small little building. You can go there today. And do you know what they also decided? They gave her a broom on the chest, her instrument of service. I think when I die, Gokrishna will give me a ragini on the chest, because this is an instrument of service. Or when Govinda dies, we might put a Nikon photo camera on your chest. Instrument of service, because service is that which relates you with Krishna. Like, for instance, we have these beads here. Prabhupada once said to Giriraj Maharaj, these beads on which we chant every morning, they are our instrument of service. We do Naam Seva with them. And he said, these are your connection with Krishna. Wonderful to think of our beads as connection with Krishna, instrument of service, very important. This is an example of transformation. Do you agree? A queen? Oh, queens at that time, they would eat very opulent food, they would have very, very luxurious accommodations. They would never do anything, any manual labor, for to speak of sweeping the path for other people. They were held in high honor by the people. But Surangi Maharani crossed all these material identifications and transformed her heart. I would like to say just at the end, well, at the end I have a surprise for you, but now, what transformation, how you can actually measure it. I take this from psychology, no? There's also transformational psychology, and I've taken it, I've watched this in this is relevant for us. You develop actually new thoughts and new feelings. When you are transformed, some things don't give you pleasure any longer. Maybe you know this. Like, I can imagine for Jai Gopal to think to go to a disco in Zürich Niedertracht, or wie heißt es? Niederdorf, I'm sorry, nicht Niedertracht. That concept is no longer pleasing. No, it's too much smoke in the air and not the right beats. Medanga is required. And kirtan. So new thoughts, new feelings. And new values and new desires. You value spiritual life more. I was thinking like this when I sat on Harinam, and there were some people, actually the people were by and large very nice today, no? They are always like this, or serious people. I was There was only one person I had just to laugh, you know. And I noticed he was laughing about me, and I was really, he was thinking, oh, what are they doing? They should, you know, there's something more important to do than being a Hare Krishna, you know. And but no, I thought, we value this very much. It is, I'm very happy with this. This is my value, and I have new desires. I want to purify my heart. Then you have new behavior and new activities. You just behave naturally like this. It comes from inside. And finally, you even have new dreams. You dream of Krishna and Vrindavan, and no longer these dreams which C.G. Jung and Sigmund Freud have to analyze, you know, and see where are you not in the flow, you know. and all this together brings a total new life. Should I repeat this? So you develop new thoughts and new feelings, new values and new desires, new behavior, new activities also, and finally new dreams. It goes so deep that even in your subtle body, in your unguarded psyche, you know, there is a good dreams. My dear devotees, this is something on the art of transformation. But I have a second path which I want to present to you. I'm not sure if you are still, are you able still to listen, or should we sing a little or dance in between, or we can listen. My dear devotees, I have studied some of you with my little antennas. These are the things which you don't see. It's an extrasensual perception. You go into the heart of your audience while they don't see what you do, and you see what are they thinking. Some of you have thought, oh, nice, Guru Maharaj, but I find it discouraging what you tell me this evening. You said the process. And yes, I know the process. I've heard it 25 years in my life of Krishna consciousness. Guru Maharaj, this works for someone like Keshav Maharaj, but not for me. Some fortunate soul who brings a lot of Sukriti with him. When will you ever become realistic? My answer is now. Listen very carefully to the second part. This is the traditional understanding. I will move now to another traditional understanding, which I feel is the wealth of the bhakti tradition. Bhakti, or love for Krishna, let us start there, or devotional service, devotion for Krishna, is very rare. And there are only two containers for this bhakti. One is a pure heart, a golden pure heart. And the other is another container, which I will talk in a moment. Bhakti is compared by one acharya with the milk of a tigress. I think we have not much experience of tiger milk, no? We know hazelnut milk, we know hafer milk, we know mandel milk, we know good old cow milk, we know horse milk, we know goat milk, but tiger milk? I don't know if any one of you has drunk it so far. Jai Gopal? No, not yet. It is said to contain tiger milk, you need a very special container. An iron pot will not do, a silver pot will not do, an earth pot or you know, clay pot will not do. Only a golden pot will do, and something else. Bhakti is like that tiger milk. Only a golden heart will hold it, contain it, and something else. That something else, in my analogy, is the soft stomach of the tiger baby. The tiger baby can drink the milk of the tigers, and it will not have any effects. The tiger baby can also claw the tigers in the face, and the tigers will go, but she will not react to the tiger baby. The tiger baby can even walk over the head of the tigers. The tiger goes, I hope he doesn't fall. You know, the tiger baby has a very special relationship to the tigers. She's surrendered. Surrendered. When the tiger mama takes the tiger baby, come on, no playing now, and brings it away, the tiger baby is, yeah, tika tika, all right, no problem. Fully surrendered, actually. So bhakti can be also contained in either a golden heart, and we were talking in the first part a little bit how to purify your life, and surrender. If you can really say, my Lord, I cannot do this on my own. My Lord, I tried many times and I failed. On my own steam, I'm very, very fragile. And you get this feeling of surrender. And some of us might have to be taught a few more lessons by the great teacher called life, until we arrive at that place where we really say, I surrender. At that moment, my dear devotees, when it's real, not lip deep, heart deep, no? Then something is released from Krishna's. It's the Kripa Shakti, the mercy Shakti, which is of all the various energies of the Lord. The creative Shakti, the Srishti Shakti, which created this whole universe. Of all the various energy, the maintaining Shakti, it's there are many energies of God. It's the most, it's the queen, it's the ruler of all these other energies. And when that is activated, miracles can happen. You're no longer on your own. The Lord can show you the way and takes care of a surrendered soul, like he declares that in the Bhagavad Gita, Savadaman Parichaja Mangekang Sharanam Vraja. You know the verse? Aham Tvam Papa Savebhyo, hello, Brahmins here. Moksha Yeshyami Mashuchaha. Yes. Maybe some Brahmins need to polish their verses. No. You can do privately. So, yes. So, he takes care. He takes care of the karmic load which we carry, and so on. But I would always say, for the practice of bhakti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's the best you endeavor on the first path, which was described to you. You remember the five processes? You can listen to the recorded lecture again and note them down and invest in them daily, and surrender also. I find out in my life, my dear devotees, it's always a mixture. I'm of effort And also saying, my Lord, I realize I can't do this on my own. Please help me. And this is what has kept me alive all these years. A mixture of effort as much as I can and surrender as much as I can to Krishna's plan. Hare Krishna. So what am I saying? The transformation is happening due to a certain process which is detailed in our tradition, but it is also happening due to the help of the Lord who is approached by the path of Sharanagati. Hare Krishna. Simple. How do you feel when you hear all this? Hopeful, yeah. I would encourage you, please give it a thought. This is my only lecture in Zurich after 1 year I will soon ask our Keshava Maharaj to give us his reflections on the subject. My dear devotees, I really thought about this lecture. It's really something which is a gift from my heart. It's something which I really, really would be very honored if you think about it, understand it, maybe listen to it again and just find out, you know, how this works. And reflect about it, and then start tomorrow. Then start your beautiful new life of transformation. There is such a hunger for genuine spiritual culture in the world. You can't build. I mean, but we must be carriers of this. It's not enough to just belong to a path. We must absorb the path. The path must become us in a way, not in a Mayavadi way. Yes. How do you like the Queen? Amazing, isn't it? Encouraging also. Thank you, Damoda Prasad. You said it's hope giving. Who? Sundarananda is hopeful. Good. Nice. Hare Krishna. I want our Keshava Maharaj to speak about this subject also. I suggest we. Maybe it's the best while the idea is still fresh, that we asked you, Maharaji. This is a seat like a sofa. It's good for two.
Sadhana Sachinandan Maharaj ki. This is quite intimidating. That's very nice, actually.
We have affectionate.
Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As Maharaj was speaking on the art of transformation, I was thinking actually this is a genius topic, actually. In the world we're living in today, there's so much of a sense of people don't want to be religious. I don't know about here, but in the UK, one of the biggest movements is SBNR, spiritual but not religious. So people say, I want to be spiritual, but I don't want to be religious. Because there's a sense in which religion is ritualistic, whereas spirituality is transformational. There's a sense in which religion is about being part of an external group, but spirituality is about development of the self. There's a sense in which religion is just following the crowd, but spirituality is about awakening your real self. And so actually, transformation is what everyone is looking for. And the moment we don't have transformation, then we know we're becoming more religious than spiritual. As Maharaj was speaking about transformation, I was reminded actually of a story of traditionally they used to go for atonement. And so one man, he was going for atonement, and then he would offer a donation of £10, and Father, this is what I've done. And then he would say, then the father would say, okay, you're forgiven. Next week he would come in and give another donation of £10 and do the same thing. Okay, you're forgiven. And then the next week he came in with a donation of £20 and he said everything. And the father said, you're forgiven. He said, but why did you give a £20 donation? He said, I'll be away on holiday next week, so I'm just covering. And so it became very clear that there was no desire to change. In our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes an incredible statement about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, how do we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God? And he says that some think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God because he performed many miracles, isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cured someone of leprosy. He manifested so many mangoes. He did amazing things. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his original writing on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he sent to the West, he writes an incredible statement where he says, the proof that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God is the incredible love that he exuded in his own character and the love that he was able to awaken within others. In other words, that's the real proof. If someone is able to awaken a transformation of love on such a mass scale, you must understand this is Prema Purushottam, the Supreme Lord who is the embodiment of love. So this is really the essence of Krishna consciousness, is so much about transformation. And the Goswamis, who are the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they begin to actually give us many, many handbooks which help us to observe our own transformation and assess our own transformation. And they give many, many areas that each one of us can look at if we want to see whether we're actually transforming through the process of Krishna consciousness. When Maharaj was reading some of those points of modern psychology, then in my mind I was thinking, wow, those same points are in Shastra. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how do you know if you're becoming Krishna conscious? One of the main points he made was desire. Are your material desires going down? And are your spiritual desires being awakened? Everyone can make an assessment. How else do we know if we're transforming Krishna consciousness? Another one is character. Prabhupada would often say, demoniac, lower nature qualities, lust, anger, greed, envy, such things begin to disappear. Tolerance, kindness, empathy, such things began to manifest. The Bhagavatam says, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchana, that all the great qualities of the demigods awaken within someone who has developed bhakti. So here we're getting so much of a picture of what transformation is. Your desires change, your character changes. The Goswamis also mention your faith changes. In the beginning, you start spiritual life with something called Komala Shraddha, which means very weak faith. And this eventually evolves into Nishta. Nishta means conviction. You see, Sanskrit is very interesting language. If you think about those letters, Stha, S-T-H-A. If you think of so many English words which begin from Stha, stay, stand, stop, stationary, all carry a sense of being fixed in one place. So Nishta means your faith grows to such a point that there's no question of going anywhere else. It just becomes your natural place to stay. And so as we're transforming, our faith is transforming. Another measure of transformation that's given in the scriptures is taste. How long can one absorb themselves in transcendental sound vibration? With how much absorption and with how much sustainability can one stay in the transcendental sound vibration? This level of taste is another major indicator of one's transformation and evolution in Krishna consciousness. So the Goswamis are so incredible because they've taken the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, and they've made it into a practical handbook that each one of us can really apply. I don't know whether you will find many theologies in the world that can be so practical as Krishna consciousness. And therefore, whenever Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, he never presented it as a religion. He always presented it as a spiritual science. Because there's transformation, there's change, and there's observable progression. And so I think this topic that Maharaj has chosen is really an incredible topic. And we look forward to churning this topic more and more. Because if we can learn the art of transformation, then we will grasp the essence of Krishna consciousness. And then not only will we all be very, very happy and satisfied in our own journeys, but it's the best way to also attract people to a better life. Srila Prabhupada said to Hari Sauri Prabhu that attracting others to Krishna consciousness, that's easy business. Just show people how happy you are. But in order for us to be happy, there has to be real transformation. And so, thank you, Maharaj, for raising this topic. And these were some initial thoughts.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Akandati Prabhu, do you have a few thoughts on this to contribute? We can just, yes.
Yes, but I won't join you on this. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, Lord. Please. Yes.
Thank you very much, Lord Raj. Thank you, Swami Bhagavan Krishna, the Keshava Swami also, for your words. Maharaj, you did look into our hearts and you did see that we were struggling when you were talking about tapa and talking about, you know, being very fixed in the process. Yes, probably there was quite a few of us going, this is hard. But you have given us good encouragement. And I think that's an important aspect. Krishna consciousness is a process of transformation. That's what it's all about. And I was reading recently, you know, Prabhupada talking about how the devotees of ISKCON have a certain... I mean, he was very proud of them. He was proud that his devotees are eager to transform their hearts, not just to follow blindly, not to just claim they are, have this faith or that faith, but to actually transform their hearts. Prabhupada was pleased and proud of that. And that is my experience of the devotees of our movement. We're not all transformed yet, fully,
ego.
Everyone is transformed to some degree, more so every day. And what I see in the hearts of the devotees is that desire just to keep trying, to keep working on it. And if there's one thing that we can all do, it's just giving the time for the process. You know, there's a statement about investment, and some people thinking it's the timing of the market, you know, to cash in at this point and to cash out at that point. But they say if you really want to succeed in investment, it's time in the market. So that's like it for devotees. We have to give the time in Krishna consciousness. Day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And the one thing that we cannot do is judge other devotees about their transformation, or judge even ourselves against other devotees and their transformation. What we have to do is just keep in the association of devotees. Always remain a friend, then take encouragement, then give encouragement to devotees. Because as long as we're in the association of those who are trying to transform, the process will happen for us.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now, how should we proceed? Time is there, but so bright outside. The night is young. Hare Krishna. Maybe we should see just one of, if there are a few questions, is that good? Yes? We have a microphone for you. Yes? Seja, yes?
I didn't expect to be the only one. And thank you so much for the lecture and also for your part, additionally, and yours. It was all very soothing to the heart of someone that I believe Sundarananda said it was very hope-giving. And when I listen to this just with my heart, it's so beautiful and so hope-giving and convincing and giving strength. But my question is, how not to get lost in the details? This is what I feel often on my path, that these things, when I dive deep in my heart, are always present and always very clear. But I constantly manage to get lost in the details. And how to somehow on a daily basis, you have given this five in the beginning, these things, which is very nice to go every day through, but either practical or philosophical or any addition, how to help ourselves daily not to get lost in the details.
Yeah. Just very briefly, I used to struggle with this a lot, and then I heard that mercy of Nityananda has to be taken, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Advaita Acharya, and then Hari Bhakti Vilas about this, and Buddha Shruti, and it became a huge thing. Have you heard? I think we have heard the word Sara. Sara is essence. And the essence of... we have one scripture. This is the Bhagavatam. And the essence of the Bhagavatam is summarized by Ishvara Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is about chanting the names of the Lord to whom you are attached. No? Raga. There must be some attachment in this. And I have, my heart has become very peaceful by understanding I cultivate this essence. And once you commit to following the essence, you have almost a point from where other things happen naturally. In a flow, like Aristotle said, give me a point and I can lift the world. with the lever and Hebel. So in the same way, if you have found the point that how to contact Krishna in this age of Kali through the holy name, then you will develop many things. They will become very clear. Like, for instance, you chant and then you want to know, well, I would like to know more about Krishna now. And then you want to read the Bhagavatam. And then you think, well, wow, there are so many good informations about Krishna. Let me find out more about Krishna. And all of a sudden, without you actually steering it so much, you are becoming interested to remember Krishna throughout the day and not forget him. But you must have a point that is essential. If you are stuck in some inessential point, you will not get to the path, to an essential path. This would be my answer to this question. I think you all know, some of you know, I had developed a severe crisis when I was 23 years or so in the movement, because I didn't know the essence of what this is about, and I didn't suffer from it. I could not see any transformation in my heart. And then I did one. I wanted to actually leave the movement because it had not worked for me. I wasn't, but I couldn't leave because out of love I loved Prabhupada. So I was, should I stay or should I go? I was in a real difficult position. I could not move forward. Then I did the study it took me a year to find the point, but then I need a few more years to understand how to chant in my case, and how to chant with more taste, and then from that all the other, I have many interests, as you know, but they are all shown. I'm a voracious reader, not a scientist like our Keshav Maharaj. I forget a lot, but I like to have a lot. Good. The next question, please. We are sharing, by the way, the microphone, so I will go to whoever's next. I don't know, but Maharaj will do. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing about this, for me, most important of all topics, I guess. Transformation is key. And I'm wondering, and I've experienced it in my own life, and I've observed that one of the biggest hindrances is the addiction to our own pain body. It gives us so many problems. It even leads us away from our connection to the holy name and to our spirit, away from our spiritual practice, because so much guilt and shame and anything can block you so much. And I wonder how much we need to put conscious awareness inside of this, because we have the medicine. It's obvious we have the holy name, which will ultimately lead us out of that conditioned state of ego. But I just have a feeling that the addiction to that sticky pain body, which always returns and shows us the unsolved things inside of us, is somehow really difficult to overcome if you are not looking at it and not putting our awareness also there. So I've also seen that through the process of the holy name, Krishna, through his mercy, brings us there to just focus on it, because we need to let go of that kind of identification. But I can see that it's a problem for many, many of us. So I wonder about your experience and
you
insights.
Know, you can, yeah.
I'll share a few thoughts and then ask Maharaj also. You mentioned the word sticky. Yeah, habits and past behaviors are on deep-rooted psychology, very sticky. They say habit, even if you take H away, still a bit remains. If you take A away, still a bit remains. And if you take the B away, still it remains. So habits are so difficult to overcome. When Maharaj was speaking about flying, I remember his story that he often tells of the person he met who said, "You've been teaching people flying for so many years, but now you also have to fly," something to that effect. And I have to admit, about 2 months ago, I went flying. I actually flew a plane. And and the pilot said something interesting to me. And I found it so beautiful. He was saying, when you fly a plane, if you go from, say for example, from London to New York, then before the pilot sets off, there's a flight path. They set a flight path. And then the plane takes off and it goes on that flight path. But did you know, in any given journey of one plane from one airport to another, it's only ever on the flight path for 20% of the journey. Most of the journey, the plane is either off on the right side or off on the left side, because there's wind, there's other planes, there's other factors, pressure, whatever it may be. The amazing thing is that when any given plane goes on a journey, it's only ever on the flight path for 20% of the journey. Yet the amazing fact is that after 8 hours, it still arrives at its destination. And why is that? Because it's not a matter of being on the flight path, but what the pilot is always focused on is getting back to the flight path. If he's off this way, we got to get back. Goes off this way, got to get back. And when the constant meditation is, I always have to get back, then you'll make it to your destination. What does Krishna say to Arjun? Yato yato nischalati manaschanchalamastiram tatastato niyam yetad atmanyeva vasamnayet. Krishna doesn't say to Arjun, maybe if by chance your mind wanders. Krishna says your mind will wander. But then what do you do? Atmanyeva vasamnayet. Just keep bringing it back. So after I heard that over years in Krishna consciousness, I realized that I need to stop looking for the perfect year in Krishna consciousness. I need to even stop looking for the perfect week in Krishna consciousness. Probably I need to even stop thinking about the perfect day in Krishna consciousness, because for most of us, that day may never come. There may never be a day when we don't make a mistake or we fall prey to something, an old habit or a mentality or a lower nature. But what we can do every day is decide coming back to the essence. And I think when that becomes our focus, progress, not perfection, I think that's a shift in mentality which becomes hugely empowering and hugely hope-giving. And so I think when that is our meditation, then I think we can live with having bad habits. We can live with falling short of what we know we want to be, and at the same time not live with it comfortably, but live with it, accept it, and then go progressively to try to transcend it without allowing that guilt to debilitate us. Some thoughts. Much.
I would just thank you very much. It is very encouraging with the correcting our you know, coming back to the path about pain as something which has so much emotional power that it pulls us to to the pain, you know, physical or mental or emotional pain. The scriptures speak about a direct process and an indirect process, and the indirect process is really, like you say, to be aware that there is this veed, this attachment to this thought pattern, this pain, which, and just, but our process is not so much to now try to delve into it. It's just you need to be aware of it. You need to know a little bit, wow, this is now the power of attraction. And you need to now invest a little in the positive thing so that the light of Krishna consciousness can dispel the darkness. But you, many of us need to know, okay, here's one of my weaknesses showing up. It's almost like when you have a computer and there is a default program. Somehow it's the foolish thing is programmed like this, that, no, I don't need this now. I don't need Amazon Prime now to come up, you know. But it comes. So in the same, so then you need to know, okay, this is not needed at the present moment. Let me concentrate on my work and know, you know how to deal with this. But ultimately, you won't be able to destroy your pain and the attachment to your painful thoughts and by being aware of them. It's you can't clean up darkness with darkness. You have to bring the light at one stage. Fine. So let us see. I think because of the time, we have tomorrow. If you have further questions on this, there will be a Bhagavatam class, and you can reserve the questions which you have. So I would suggest we end it here. Could we maybe sing for 5 minutes the Maha Mantra?
Yes.
Yeah? In this way, here I would suggest.
Yeah.
Because then I can operate my little thing. I hope it was not uncomfortable. It's very brief, really 5-7 minutes, not longer. A, B, C, D, C, was? One more. Learned a raga which is to be sung at this time of the day. Let us just conclude this wonderful evening where we heard so much wisdom, but maybe more important, not more important, but equally important, we came together today as devotees who really want to move forward, find out how to make this transformation real. So it was a devotional gathering, and please let us end it in a devotional way by just singing. Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, one more time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Hare,
Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Rajaya Prabhupada, Jaya
Prabhupada, Srila
Prabhupada, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna! Good night, everyone! Haribo!